The fourth reading of Parshas Baalei Sechav, chapter 9, verse 15. Today we're going to read about ancient journeys that have modern lessons for life. Uveyayim hakim es ha-mishkan. And on the day that they established the Mishkan, that of course took place exactly, well, less really, 2 weeks shy of a year of the Exodus, on the first day of Nisan. So on that day, Kisa ha'anon es ha-mishkan, the cloud, which proverbially represented the presence of Hashem, covered the Mishkan. La'oy ha'lo'edos, for the tent of testimony. Uva orev, and in the evening, yihi ala mishkan, there was upon the Mishkan, Kimare Esh, what appeared to be the imagery of fire or energy. And it remained that way ad ha-boker, until the morning. So what is the meaning of ha-mishkan le-oyel ha-edos? The mishkan for the tent of meeting or covering of testimony. So Rashi says that the word oyel does not refer to the onon, but rather that it refers to the Mishkan, ha-mishkan, the Mishkan ha-osoy li-yes oil, which served as a covering, an enclosure, le-luchas ha-edos. So the luchas ha-edos, the tablets of testimony, represented the Shekhinah. The tabernacle was built as an enclosure for it, and so yihya al ha-mishkan, kemay hoiva al ha-mishkan, as if the word yihya means not it will be, but rather it was, continuously, in a dynamic sense. V'chein, and similarly, loshen kol ha-parsha, the verbiage, the syntax which is utilized in this parsha, refers to what is, not what will be. So essentially, the Torah here is recapping that which it already told us about. We already talked about Rosh Chodesh Nisan. We already talked about the establishment of the Mishkan as being the place of Hashem's Shekhinah. And the Medrash Lamdeinu says, we know that the Mishkan was supposed to be a testimony. Testimony to what? That Hashem's Shekhinah returned to the Jewish people. So what was there on Har Sinai? A cloud. It says, Onon Kosher Alahar. There was a cloud that hugged the mountain. That same cloud now turned into the representation of the Shekhinah, or that which appeared to be a manifestation of Hashem's presence that hovered above the Mishkan. And the Medrash Lamdeinu says, Oisei ha'anon, it was the very same cloud, Shenigla bay b'Har Sinai, that Hashem revealed himself at Har Sinai. Now the Sinai experience sans the lightning and thunder, but with the cloud appeared on the Mishkan. When did this happen? Ibsaji Gaon says it happened continuously. From the day that the Mishkan was established, from Rosh Chodesh, from the day that the Shekhinah was actualized, the cloud had been there. And the Torah now is a year later, over a year later, telling me what was going on for the last year. Where did it cover exactly? So Ramban says the Mishkan was comprised of a small covered structure, which had two compartments. The innermost compartment was the chamber where the ark was. That was called the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The front chamber, or the foyer, was called the Kodesh. And then there was a large enclosure, like a courtyard. So Ramban says that the Onon covered the actual Mishkan structure, not the entire courtyard. So the entire courtyard was open air and did not have even a cloud that covered over it. But rather, it was the actual building or little structure made of the planks of the krushim that was covered with the tapestries. That's where the onan was. The Be'er Sada, he argues with the Rambam. He says it wasn't even on the entirety of the Mishkan. It was only on the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Because the Torah emphasizes and says that Kisa ha'onan es ha-mishkan, which part of the Mishkan, la'oyel ha'edos, that served as a covering or an enclosure for the testimony. An enclosure for the testimony is not the whole Mishkan, because the testimony refers to the luchot, the tablets. So therefore, the back, or the final area, the inner sanctum, that's where the cloud was. And of course, you might ask me that this has already been told to us. Why does the Torah have to repeat it? We already heard about this earlier. In Parshas Pekudei, it's already been talked about. So one of the answers is that now we know this was continuous, not only on that first day. Not only did Hashem's Shekhinah cover the first day, but it continued to remain there throughout the duration, and that is how the Abarbanel explains it. Why does it have to emphasize La'oyel Ha'edos? Why can't we just say that the Kisa Ha'anan is HaMishkan? We know which Mishkan it is. There were not multiple Mishkanot. So the Abarbanel says that's to show you that the Anan, that the cloud, came in honor of the Luchot, because the Luchot contained the actual Shekhinah. And because the Luchot contained the Shekhinah, that's why the cloud, which hugged the Luchot, represented the idea of Hashem's Shekhinah dwelling amongst the Jewish people. And who needed the fire? During the day it was a cloud. Who needed the fire? So Barbanel says, how were they supposed to see where they're going? There was no lampposts. It would have been, the whole camp would have been dark. In this way, not only they had the benefit of knowing that Hashem's Shekhinah was with them, because they couldn't see a cloud at night, but they would also be able to see where they were going. And so by light of the Shekhinah, if you will, they were able to navigate their way around the camp. All right. And the Torah now emphasizes, Kein Yiyeh Samid, so it shall be continuously. Ha'onon, the cloud, Yichaseno, covers over, Umare Eish Loila. So Kein Yiyeh Tomid means, says the Medrash Lekach Tov, even when they were in a state of motion, even when they were actually traveling, so then there would be the Anon. The Anon would be moving, as we're soon going to see. The Anon assumed a particular form when they were moving, but nonetheless, the Anon remained with them. The fire remained with them. So they were never bereft. Even when the Mishkan wasn't standing, the Anon was still there. That's a Chiddush.
Did they travel at night too?
Did they travel at night? I wasn't there. I don't know. I would imagine that they traveled during the day, but I'm not sure of that. Here's the point. If the cloud represents the Shekhinah, and the Shekhinah hugs the Mishkan, and the Mishkan is the enclosure of the tablets, so when it's in a state of movement, when they're carrying the tablets, when there is no enclosure, where would the cloud go? And the answer was, the cloud was with the people. That's the answer. The cloud is with the people. At all times, the cloud is with the people. So, because the point, I guess, of verse 16 over verse 15 is that verse 15 seems to indicate that the cloud is always there around the Mishkan. And then verse 16 further emphasizes that. Kein Yiyeh Samid. But Kein Yiyeh Samid tells us not only was it by the Mishkan, but even when the Mishkan was in a state of movement, even then the Shekhinah was with the Jewish people. Now, in verse 17, we hear about the Jewish people traveling. Ulefi he'olais ha'anon me'al ha'oil. And according to the lifting of the cloud from the ohel, from the enclosure, va'acharechein yisu b'nei Yisrael. That's when the Jewish people got going. This is the original GPS, God positioning system. God told them, we're going. How did God tell them we're going? The cloud would lift. When the cloud would lift, they knew it's time to get your sneakers on. We're moving. Pack up the bags quickly. And after the cloud lifted, Yisro Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people, the children of Israel, would travel. And then in the place where they were destined to camp, Ha'onon Sham. Or I should say, read that differently. In the place that the Anan, that the cloud settled, Sham Yachanu Bnei Yisrael, that's where the people knew they're supposed to camp. So as long as the Anan was in movement position, which we'll soon see what that was, they knew they had to follow. And then when the Anan put itself into sitting position, here we stay, they knew they had to break camp. What are these positions? How did the cloud lift? And when and how did the cloud indicate that it was finished traveling and that the people should end their journey here? So for here, we have some very, very interesting commentary from Rashi. Pasuk Yud Zayin, He'olais ha'anon, the lifting of the cloud. So Rashi says this could best be understood according to the interpretation of Unkelus. Uketargumai, like Unculus puts it, istalokus, that the cloud would lift. In other words, that the cloud would go. Lift. Just very gently lift. And the istalokus of the cloud, v'chein, and similarly we have na'ale. Na'ale, which is later on in verse 21, very clearly tells us that the cloud would lift off, suddenly hover. So how did this work? Rashi now says, "Le'yitochen lichtev ulefi alois ha'anan." In that case, why does it say ha'alois? Fi alois, according to the lifting. What's the hey? Or va'ala ha'anan. So Rashi says the angel lost in siluk, because if it would say it lifted, it would be like what would he call in English, lift off. Lift off means it's gone away. But it wouldn't lift off. It wouldn't go away. It would simply hover. So it wouldn't lift off, it would lift. Lift. It was now no longer hugging the Mishkan, so they knew when it was no longer hugging the Mishkan, it was time to get going. Va'Allah is not a lashon siluk of being gone, the anan was suddenly growing in a different direction. In other words, the anan would, kimoi for example, hine of ketana bechaf ish olamoyim. This is a pasuk that's found in the Book of Kings. It's the words of a young lad who Elio sent Elio and Avi to see, did the clouds come yet? Because Elio and Avi said it was going to rain. Avi said, no, it's not going to rain. So Eliyahu HaNavi tells the kid, hey kid, go see if the clouds have come yet. See if, he said, I saw a small cloud like the size of a hand. And it's growing, it's mushrooming, it's developing. So that's the point here. Point here is that the cloud would develop, it would mushroom, it would take on a certain shape, but it would not lift off and not go away. And that's how we go into verse 18, Al Pi Hashem Yisu. By proverbially speaking, the mouth of God, they would journey, Bnei Yisrael. Val pi Hashem yachnu, by the mouth of God, they would camp. Kol yimei asher yishkan ha'onan al ha-mishkan, all the days that the Mishkan, that the cloud would dwell or hug the Mishkan, yachnu, the people would camp. So that's how they knew. The Mishkan was there, the cloud was hugging the Mishkan, here we stay. It lifts up, not lifts off. Lifts up, they said, oh, time to go now. And here Rashi describes, Shaninu b'melechas ha-mishkan, we learned in with regard to the Braisa that speaks about the work of the Mishkan, which is very important for us to know in detail, because that's how we get the laws of Shabbos. We're allowed to build a Mishkan 6 days a week, we're not allowed to build a Mishkan on Shabbos. So it was really important for us to understand exactly what they did to build a Mishkan, so we know how to keep Shabbos. So in this Braisa called Melechas HaMishkan, it says, Kevon Shehoyu Yisrael Noisen, at the time when it came for the Jewish people, for the Israelites to journey forward, Hoya Amud Ha'anan Miskapel, so then the cloud would fold itself, V'nimshech Agabe Bnei Yehuda, the cloud would fold itself on top the progeny of Yehuda, the tribe of Yehuda, Kimin Koira, as if it was some kind of long beam. So the cloud, which presume was more like cloud-like, now turned into a beam-like, folded up into a beam-like kind of imagery. And then, when that would happen, taku v'hariyu v'taku, they would blow the shofar blasts. The long blast, the broken blast, and then a long blast of the shofar sound. V'v'lei hoya mehalech, it wouldn't go yet. Now the cloud would be in moving position, but it wouldn't be moving. It's no longer hovering above the Mishkan. Now it's folded atop the tribe of Yehuda. Ad Shem Moshe Omer, until Moshe says, Kuma Hashem. These are the famous verses we say when the ark is open. Kuma Hashem v'yifutzei vecha. Arise, God. Scatter your enemies. And then when Moshe Rabbeinu would say that, so then v'nosa degel machane Yehuda. Then the camp of Yehuda, which had three tribes, of course, Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zvulun, then they would all set out and begin to journey. So it was that they journeyed by God positioning system, right? Mamash by GPS. Here it was that they would know Al Pi Hashem Yachanu. God would tell them when to go. God would tell them when to camp. Kevan Shal Yisrael Chayinim, when the Jewish people would camp. What did the Anan do then? Amuda Anan So then this cloud would suddenly unfold itself. Here it was all folded up. It's folded up. Now it would unfold itself and it would reassume its original form. It would arc back over the children of Yehuda as if it was a great big enclosure. Like a roof. It would be like a sukkah over them. Maybe like a dome or something. Huh?
Umbrella.
Yeah. It doesn't rain in the desert. I don't think they sell these, but... Yeah. Maybe. It was like an umbrella. So it would be folded up, and then it would unfold. Okay. Then the umbrella would open over the tribe of Yehuda. And... V'lehoyo nifrash. It wouldn't actually spread itself over the Mishkan until Moshe Rabbeinu came along and said, Shuvah Hashem, Rivvisalfi Yisrael, return, O God, the myriads of thousands of Israel. So this is how everything went through the hands of Moshe, or through the mouth of Moshe. Hashem began the process. The shofarot were blown, were sounded, but ultimately it was Moshe who called the shots. And when Moshe said, go, it went. Moshe said, now stop. Then it would reassume the original form and settle on the Mishkan. And that, says Rashi, Aveyomer al pi Hashem ubiyad Moshe. That's the meaning of by mouth of God, by hand of Moshe. Although God would do it and Moshe would say, but that's still the way we, that's the euphemism is al pi Hashem, because that's what the Torah says. And it says ubiyad Moshe. The Jewish people would travel by the hand of Moshe. So by the hand means by the tutelage, and by the mouth of means what Hashem would communicate with them, what Hashem would express. And how would Hashem communicate or express that? By the position that the cloud took, whether the cloud folded itself, maybe like an umbrella, or unfolded itself of Yehuda, and then eventually would return to its original position over the actual ark. So it says, Acharei Chein Yeso. What's Acharei Chein? After all this. So the Abar Ben El says, after they got the command from Moshe. They never went without Moshe's command. You could have all the signs. You can know exactly what's about to happen. Until Moshe Rabbeinu says go, you don't go nowhere. It's all b'yad Hashem, but it's all been in the hand of Moshe. And then it says, "Ubemokim ashishken sham," the place where it would rest. Sham yachnu Yisrael. Is that not a given? Did we not describe a GPS system where the Jewish people only knew when to leave and where to go and how to settle because the cloud indicated? Of course it would be that the Jewish people would settle. Says the Sefarno, you should know that sometimes they came to the most what seemed to be windswept wilderness you could possibly imagine. If that's where the Anan stopped, they stopped right there. They didn't say, Erebeinu Shalelam, can we have some nicer scenery? This looks a little desolate. Whatever it was, no problem. This was a kvetching people, but not when it came to journeying. They knew how to follow instructions. The Anan lifted, they knew to get into position. The Anan stopped, it unfolded, they knew to stop. Mishkan would be built, and then the Shekhinah would return to its original picture. So, what lessons can we learn from this description of ancient desert travel? Let's open up to page Kuf Nun Ches. We'll start off with Simen Chaf Ches. Al Pi Hashem Yisu and Al Pi Hashem Yachnu. By the mouth or command of the might of Hashem, we journeyed. By the mouth of Hashem, we camped. So the Rebbe says like this. There's a message for us. Yisu, to journey, is a story of life. Because if you don't move, you're in big trouble. Statues don't move. They're in one place. A person's life is always in a state of flux. So when a person moves, grows, or develops, called Masa v'chol tnua shal adam Yisrael, you want to be an Israelite. You want to be a member of this people. All of the movements you take, you undertake, have to be al pi Hashem. Ask yourself the question, what does the Shulchan Aruch say? Does Hashem want me to move, to make this move now? And ultimately, the purpose is not just for self-aggrandizement, self-preservation, self-development, or some other form of success. What's the reason I make a move? To build a Mishkan. A new place to build a Mishkan. That has to be the question. Where am I building the Mishkan next? How am I making the presence of Hashem known? And the Rebbe says this. Olol Adam Lachshev. A person might well think. Shekol Zeis. that all of this business of following instructions, living purposefully, mindfully, in a focused way, kishimedubar al tenua ve'iskadnas, when you talk about progress, when you talk about moving forward. Ach matzev shalchanoya v'cheset tenua, there are times when you're not moving, times when we're staying put, catching our breath. I don't know, maybe when you go to sleep. So a person thinks that's not part of the journey. The journey is when I'm moving. Now I'm staying put. Staying put, that's my time. Downtime. And that's not connected to Hashem. Chas v'shalom. The Torah comes along and says, no, 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 it doesn't go like that. Not only al pi Hashem yisu, not only by the command of Hashem do you move, but also al pi Hashem yachanu. You're going on holiday now, you're taking some time off, you're not progressing, you're not moving in a direction, that also has to be al pi Hashem. And only when that also is al pi Hashem can a person succeed in his journey of life. The Rebbe once spoke about the idea that sometimes in the summer, people think there's a different Eibishter. That they're not required to do the same kind of thing. Live a certain code during the year, and then it's the summer. But don't worry, you do tshuva and elul, so everything works out just fine. You beat the rush, why wait till Erev Kippur? Start already a whole elul, you have 30 days, no problem. But it's not so. Al pi Hashem yisu, al pi Hashem yachnu. The journey and the bungalow colony. The whatever you're moving and the time down, the downtime. It all has to be al pi Hashem. So that's one lesson. And we'll go forward continuing into another lesson in the Simen Chof Tes here. The Rebbe says, you know, Parshas Baal Yischa covers a lot of ground. It's got a lot of ground, a lot of subjects. We go, it's almost dizzying. We started off talking about firing up the menorah and talking about the idea of the Mishkan and the Levites who would serve in the Mishkan and exactly how they would camp around the Mishkan to protect its precinct and its sanctity. And then all of a sudden we're talking about journeys. It's like almost, it doesn't seem to be a flow, a cadence. It's very choppy. We seem to be all over the place, having moved from one terrain to an entirely different one. So the Rebbe says there's a bigger message here. And it goes like this. Avedas ha'adam be'ilamei. A person's toil and effort and ultimate mission in this world, murkeves mishnei chalakim klalim, is comprised broadly, generally speaking, of two distinctly different dimensions. Number one, there's the aveda betech tchum akdusha. There's the things you do within the scrimmage of holiness. Learning Torah, doing mitzvahs. Those are holy things. And then there's the aveda, there's the efforts a person has to make, the birur v'zichuch haguf, trying to make the material, bodily, corporeal reality into a sanctified situation as well. And that is encapsulated in the words of our sages, kol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shamayim. Everything you do should be purposeful. And the purpose should be serving Hashem in heaven. Or, as Shlomo HaMelech said in his wisdom, b'chol d'rachecha, in all of your ways, da'ehu, know him. It's your ways. If it's my way, I may know him. B'chol d'rachav, in his ways, I'll know him. No, says Shlomo HaMelech, in your ways, know him. Because your ways are also supposed to be guided and focused. They're also supposed to have purpose. So what's the Seder HaVeda? How can we do this successfully? And the answer is, in the words of the Mishnah, Kshayt Atzma Tchila. Speak to yourself first. First you got to work on yourself. And then when you finish criticizing or fixing your own situation, Kshayt Achedim. Then you can come along and you tell others how to be. But first you have to be right. Get your affairs in order, and then you can go around trying to get other people's affairs in order. If a person were to give somebody else advice that he themselves doesn't follow, would they be accepted?
No.
Of course not. They say, "Kaitas matchila, go take care of yourself first." And that's how it is. L'cholerei shala adam laftiach shahu atzmai, that a person has to make sure that they themselves is mu'ar ba'ira terev ha-mitzvahs. Are you living a light-filled life? That's a good question. And if you are, la'achar mikein, after you've lit up your own candles, then you can go up and try to illuminate and light the candles in the world. But fire up yourself first. And that's the order of the Parsha. The Parsha opens with Bahalois Ches HaNeres, Fire up the lamps. Which lamps? The lamps in front of you. The lamps which are inside the Mishkan. This represents a person's avodah of kindling with a passion and fervor, the avodah of Torah and mitzvahs. Because we know ner mitzvah, the Torah er. A mitzvah is a lamp, and the Torah is light. Ola'achar mikein. And then after this comes Parshas Hamasores. You fired up your own lamps. You filled your own life with light. Mazel tov. Now what should I do? Now hit the road, Jack. Now start the journey. This teaches us that your Mishkan that you just created, you're able to carry it. You can bring it somewhere else. And when you're traveling, you have to remember that those journeys must be Al Pi Hashem. But if you're doing it Al Pi Hashem, and you're carrying the Mishkan you built into the next area, you should know that you'll be successful. Why? Because you started with B'hala Yischa. So light up your life, and light up the lives of others, and in this way, the journeys will take us to the final destination, which is Eretz Yisrael HaShleima, with the coming of Mashiach, and Hera, and Meir.